It's interesting that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, with regard to Radhastami, the divine appearance and day of Srimati Radharani, and also Bhaktivinoda Thakur saying, interchangeably, the best day of the year has arrived, or the happiest day. Because also the Guru is seen as Radharani's delegation. And we know in one of the prayers about Srila Saraswati Thakur, Sri Barsha Banavi Devi, that means Radharani, Sri Barsha Banavi Devi Daitaya Kripabdaye, Krishna Sambandha, I don't recall the rest, but so much has been said about Krishna, and certainly so much more will be said. Ananta Dev, with his thousands of mouths, is glorifying Krishna at this moment. But if you were to ask Krishna, what is most important to him, what is most dear to him? Like we say, the name Krishna Priya, that is the name of Radharani, means who is most dear to Krishna? Because it can be said, well, in the general sense, the devotee is who is most dear to Krishna. Guru is, you know, Krishna Pristaya Bhuta. Guru is most dear to Krishna. But then if we say, all right, in the category of those who are most dear to Krishna, whom, I think is the word, is most dear to Krishna? And that will always, invariably, inevitably lead to the holy lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. So much so, Gurmur said, he's saying in a particular context, he's saying, the only reason Mahaprabhu came is to proclaim her glories. We'll say, well, didn't he come to give the Nam Sankirtan? Yes. Didn't he come to save the fallen soul? Yes. But really, you know, Bahiranga Sanghe Kori Nam Sankirtan, Antaranga Sanghe Kori Rasa Ashradam, saying, that is his, what Guru Maharaj calls public service, to distribute Nam Sankirtan, the Yuga Dharma, to save all the fallen souls, to liberate them, more than liberate. But the Antaranga section, like we mentioned yesterday, Lalita Sakhi Srup Damodar Rupa Raghunath Sanatan, Rasa Ashvadan, Ramananda, he wants to taste rasa with those devotees. But then we can say, but wait, he's Rasaraj, Krishna. He's already tasting rasa beyond the imagination. He's the Rasika Shekhar, Rasaraj. So why this so much interest here in tasting this? Because in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna has taken the position of Srimati Radharani. You see, what it is she's tasting, what she's experiencing. We're told, and Krishna's estimation and their loving exchange, like we could think, the two parties could think something about the other. But interestingly, we're not told somewhere that Radharani wants to take Krishna's position, that of enjoyer. There's not a parallel there. Right? Because she is forever into self-giving, self-sacrifice. Guru Maharaj used the word fodder, considering himself like, I'm just fodder for Krishna's enjoyment. Fodder is a somewhat antiquated word. It means basically food. So she's saying, I'm just meant for Krishna's enjoyment. But in this exchange, we're told that this is astonishing Krishna. Omniscient Krishna, who knows everything, says, I can't estimate the depth of her love or the heights of her prema. Prema rasasima. So he realizes, as Krishna, Rasaraj Krishna, Rasika Shekhar, that as the enjoyer, he can't feel, taste what she's tasting. He can only understand it theoretically. So to experience what it's like to be her, he will have to leave his position as an enjoyer, because that is contrary to the science of devotion. Devotee is never in that position, never desires to be in that position. But see how exalted is devotion, that Krishna himself would like to become a devotee of Krishna and experience Krishna consciousness. The devotee's own thing, like, oh, I wonder what it'd be like to be Krishna. I mean, like, that's going in another direction, which doesn't have a happy ending. You know, you become a Nitya Buddha Jiva with your, you know, living in your tiny skull-sized kingdom, you know, trying to acquire, control, and consume things that are lower than you as a means to self-satisfaction and fulfillment, and left disappointed, frustrated, but Krishna, he's peculiarly charmed. It has awakened his curiosity. So as we said yesterday, Charitamritam comes from Swarup Damodar, Raghunath Das Goswami, Rupa Goswami. Of course, it's Krishna's Kaviraj who's the medium for all of this, and not only medium, but the original slokas from him, Govinda Lilamrita elsewhere. But when he, in the foundational stages, quoting the Chaitanyastakam of Rupa Goswami, the notes of Swarup Damodar, Raghunatha, Rupa Goswami, Param Kasyapi Prani Janavrindasya Kutuki. The word Kutuki means curiosity. So we're told it's in the midst of the rasa dance. Because you think, where does this occur? It's interesting that it occurs in the midst of so much enjoyment of Krishna and his, the height of his enjoying position. He's serving all. And yesterday, there's a Bhagavatam slok that says, Guru Maharaj, one of his slokas that was an introduction to his collection, like similar to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhagavad Arka Maritimala, the Gadadhar sloka is there, Vedavyas sloka, but one for Radharani says, Yadamiyam Mahima Sri Bhagavatam Katayam. Abja apya ablabideya tadakila rasamurti shamalila avalambam madura rasadi sri radha padmam prapadam prapade pratipatam anubhutam apya labdabideya. So saying, although her name is not mentioned there, pratipatam means at every step of the way, and it's interesting to use the word pada. Every step is to take us where? Into the direction of the service of her pada, her holy lotus feet. They're saying, so why not mention her name? You're indirectly saying this book about Krishna, really the secret to it is it's about her. And you're saying, wait, the book, the Krishna book, the book that's about the supremacy of Krishna, Veda Vyasa's magnum opus, you know, his supreme work, and you're saying, really, secretly, in a hidden way, it's all about her. Oh, you mean so Krishna? No, not that Krishna is not important. But if you really want Krishna conception, you have to come in connection with her and the service of her holy lotus feet. So Guru Maharaj says there, although her name is not mentioned. Then you go, why? Because this is very confidential understanding. In one place, we're told when those sages hear Narada chastising Vyas and saying, you know, what, you're a traitor to the cause. You've done the greatest disservice. What did I do? You gave religion to the world. I thought that's what I was supposed to do. Actually, it's not that you meant it that way, but people will use religion as an excuse to remain bound in the world. And the idea was to break the bonds, the bondage of material existence, and take them into the upper world. You didn't make it clear what their possibility or prospect is in the upper world. So they think, you know, liberation, like get some freedom from material existence and enter some neutral state and you're free from desire and the accompanying suffering from exploring desire. But they'll think, but what about these impulses I have, you know, to taste beauty, sweetness, the relationship, love, affection, like none of that in the liberated world? That's just people sitting, you know, smiling and going, boy, I'm glad that's over. No, you have to tell them that everything they aspired for here, that's where you can get that very thing you want, that eternal love and the reciprocal loving exchange. Oh, so now I'll tell that in the Bhagavatam. All right. Well, I better tell some things before that, otherwise they might misunderstand. Yes, good. So cantos 1 through 9, backstory. Then in canto 10, you tell these things. Birth of Krishna, and then that Krishna who, as Mahavishnu, innumerable universes are coming out of his pores of his body, somebody understand that Krishna. Then he appears and he has these pastimes with Mother Yasoda, the cowherd boys, then the Braja Gopis, of whom Radharani is the principal one. But then they're thinking, they heard Rasalila, and they're saying, these are the past, this is the new religion, right? This Krishna conception, where it seems like he's not only human-like, but an immoral man. That's too much for us. So for that group, the gopis are only saying, and then one gopi, she did this, another gopi did that, then another, they don't say their names. Then you wonder, why? Because it's so confidential, two reasons are given, so confidential that not to go into details with this group. Who are the group? The greatest sages assembled from all over the universe. That gives you a hint of what level of confidentiality is there. But Sanatana Goswami Prabhu in his Brihad Bhagavatamritam Tika says that if Sukadev will just vibrate the holy name of Srimati Radharani, it will ignite a fire of separation in him that is so great that he will be incapacitated to speak the Bhagavatam. And not only her, but even Lalita Vishaka, etc. He doesn't mention their names. Just one gopi came for it, and what do we hear? That one sang so beautifully, like Vishaka, another one sang even more beautifully, Lalita Vishaka. But then this one gopi who sang, she canceled everyone else by her singing, this one particular one whose name is not mentioned. So in the present, how many gopis are there? Billions, we're told sometimes, at the Rasa Lila. So then, And in full swing. So one Krishna, billions of gopis. He knows everything there is about rasa. But then that gopi who displayed superior singing, dancing, she felt some exhaustion. She was tired. So, but also we're told, she's thinking, oh, Krishna, you think I'm just one of the group. Like she has this feminine ego, but in a pure, in its purest form. So she leaves. You know. And Krishna, there's a billion minus one. This is spiritual mathematics. Radha Madaya Hridaye Tatyaja Braja Sundari. And Krishna's thinking, what happens? What? The whole quality of this experience just went down. What happened? Serving, seeing, there's someone isn't here. Her. Then Krishna leaves the billion to search for this one. That's how Ramananda, the shorthand for saying, how qualified she is, she cancels the billion. This one, that's the level of her qualities, that the other billion become insignificant. It's great if she is there. If she's not there, forget them. Go search for her. So, aparam kasyapi prani janamrindasya kutuki. This, and so Krishna is searching for her. And we hear, and like we're saying today, Barshana, the Brajamandal Purikrama. Barshana is where Srimati Radharani, like her hometown, where she's from, born. And we're told, remember, this is Yoga Maya arranges all these things to make the pastime sweeter. So Brishabhanu Maharaj and his wife, they're unable to have, they want to have a child, cannot have a child for some reason, yoga mayic reason. And he goes to bathe in the day, and we're always talking about these lotus flowers around here. And so he while bathing, he sees there's a lotus flower, and the lotus flower opens up. And he looks and he sees a little golden baby girl inside the lotus flower, like that. And so he's saying, oh, you know. And he takes the little golden girl and home, like, to his wife. She's saying, guess, I have a surprise for you. His wife, what is that? Look. And little golden baby girl. I'm like, oh, our, you know, prayers have been answered. Our dreams have come true. You know. But that were many, it's told from many different points of view, but sometimes mentioned, they're a little worried. The baby girl doesn't open her eyes, has like very beautiful lotus-like eyes, but they're not opening. So they're a little worried. But hearing this, that they've had this baby, like when the baby's born, people come and visit, different couples come, and we're told, Nanda, you're sort of, they come with Krishna, and Krishna crawls up, and so then Radharani opens her eyes. That's the first thing she ever saw was Krishna. She's not opening her eyes for any non-Krishna. And one of her names also is Krishnamoyi. And you can say that means one, there's no one more full of Krishna than her. That's also why Radhadasyam. People say, no, I don't want anyone interfering or intervening between me and Krishna. I want to go directly. What is your capacity to exchange or extract from Krishna? She, Saraswati Thakur said, predominated moyati, Krishna predominating moyati. It's half. So she can extract from Krishna fully, as an equal or even superior. Whereas a jiva, what can, even in direct connection. So she is Krishnamoyi, and that means no one is more full of Krishna than her. Or, Guru Maharaj said, we can be understood in this way, that like that opening of the eyes and casting her glance, it is as if where she cast her glance, Krishna is produced. So in one sense, you can say, like we think, you know, like they talk about God is the creator and everything. And you could say in a particular context, she's created Krishna. Krishna's her creation. From the heart of Radharani, he appears. And before people start Googling or looking madly through their notes, you have to understand this in context. Only from her do you get Krishna fully when he's his most affectionate, most generous, most himself. We mean it in that way. Otherwise, at the side of another gopi or in another context, and another avatar, another extraordinary, wonderful, divine, no doubt. But you only get Swayam Bhagavan Krishna in his, you know, when he's most happy. That means ananda, like ananda lila maya vigraha, but rasa ananda, ananda murti. Think of that. Like in this world, you have some people who they're interacting with various persons, and you see certain aspects or elements of their personality. Just like, you know, there's like a work persona, then there's a private persona with your friends, your mother, your beloved. But when there's someone who just being in their company makes you absolutely joyful, you couldn't be happier. And they make you more and more and more happy. So you only get to see that Krishna with her. That Krishna's not in any other place or person. When he's with Radharani, then you see Krishna at his happiness, happiest. And if he is happiness personified, then you can understand in this sense, in this context, it's as if she's produced that Krishna. That's what I mean to say. That's why the devotees are like, Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta. Then what? Radha Kanta Namostute. It's Krishna at his best. So that Krishna, when he is searching for her, he finds her. And we're told on the Brajamandal Parikrama, one of Saraswati Thakur's disciples innocently said, yes, he finds her, but then after some time, he abandons her. What are we to understand from that? And Guru said, Saraswati Thakur was very angry. Said, why do you say that? There's no devotion there. And then like, what? And I went, shh. And I'm like, that's revealing how much he is her follower, exclusive. He doesn't like the idea that Krishna may have in some way diminished her prestige. Because what are we told, what that devotee was alluding to was that then Krishna finds Radharani. And of course, that plunges all the other gopis into the depths of separation. They're madly searching. What happened? You know, and they see footprints. And we're told Radha in the songs, Radha, Padman, Kitadam, Vrindavan, Jaranam. Real Vrindavan, proper, in its fullest expression, embellished by the lotus footprints of Radharani. So they're seeing, oh, there's Krishna's footprints. They're following them. Oh, but there's the footprints of his beloved. But like, oh, but now her footprints are gone. What happened? They're trying, like they're doing the gopi investigation, you know, and they think, oh, she must have said, I'm tired, and if you want to go further, you have to carry me. So then Krishna, oh, he's carrying Radharani, and they go, oh, how much he loves her. He's carrying her now. And then Krishna places her in a comfortable place to sit. And then what? And Radharani, she's thinking, like, is there anyone more fortunate than me? Krishna left all the billions of Brajagopis for me alone. How, you know, fortunate I am, and I'm special, and, you know. Close her eyes for a second, open her eyes, and see, no Krishna. And this is why Krishna is sometimes difficult to understand. You know? He's like, how can he do that? That's why Saraswati Thakur doesn't like to hear this from that devotee. Shut up. You know? But Guru Maharaj is saying, no, that's not the end of this story. So he looks in the writings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and we're told Krishna is thinking, like, how much does she love me? What, when she looks at me, I'm seeing what she looks like. What does she see that's causing this effect on her? The love she has for me, I see how she responds, and it's, I can't process it. So he's saying, if that's what it's like when we're together and we understand in principle that love reaches its most extreme position in separation, then what happens to her when we're separated? So what I will do is hide myself in the kunj, like the bushes. But like we have around the corner here, you see when you walk out there, it's like a little cottage. You know what I'm talking about? It's around the back. So he's hiding in there, and he wants to see, like, what happens to her when she's separated from me? And then what he sees, he's like, oh no, oh my. Her heart is plunged into the depth of separation, and she starts crying out for Krishna, and her body is exhibiting different ecstatic symptoms. And he sees what she's experiencing in separation from me is more intense than we're even together. So that arouses within Krishna, Kutuki, the curiosity to think what it's like to be her. Rasotstamam hritva madaram upabhoktum kamapiya. So what then? Stealing her heart. She's not going to give it freely or easily. She has to steal it. That's the word used by Guru Maharaj. It's the word used by Rupa Goswami. Then, now, Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalita. He's enveloped. Shyama Sundar Krishna is enveloped in the heart of Radharani. Not in the position of Krishna the enjoyer anymore. And what's happening? The radiance of her heart has turned Shyama Sundar Krishna into Gauranga Sundar Mahaprabhu. Now he's become golden in his form, transformed. As he thought, as inconceivably beautiful as Krishna is, with his qualities, how can you improve on that, or what could be more beautiful than that? Only the combination of Radha and Krishna. That's why it's too much to even conceive, but nonetheless, that is the position of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then as Mahaprabhu, he's experiencing what it is like to be her. And he made a promise, we know, in Bhagavad Gita, yeyatamam prapadyante tangstateva bhajamyaham. The general rule, he's saying, as you surrender to me, I reciprocate that. So I think, oh, that's very good. But then we find out in the Bhagavatam, he's saying, but in some cases, I know there are some people who are cheating, or they're not sincere and earnest in their approach. They say they're asking for devotion. Really, they want something else. So I give them mukti, liberation, and they're so thrilled, excited, they go away, they're happy with that. Said, then on the other hand, I have some devotees who, they really want to be devotees, but sometimes they're distracted by the mundane or lingering past affinity for the mundane. So they're approaching me for that, and I don't give it to them. Because I know really they want to be devotees. It's temporary insanity. So I don't give. I give them devotion. So I said, mukti. Mukti dadati karhachit smana bhakti yogam. He'll easily give generic mukti, but not devotion. So it gives a little more insight into his thinking. But in the Bhagavatam, after he witnesses the sort of self-giving, self-sacrifice of Srimati Radharani and Braja Gopis, Napareham Niravadya Samyadam, he's saying, I have to break my promise. Because I said, as you surrender to me, then I will reciprocate. Saying, but what I see, the type of love and devotion that is in your hearts, even if I give myself fully to you, it's not enough to compensate you. So I have to break my promise. But that's a way of giving them the most extreme praise. Saying, even totally giving myself to you will not be enough. And I'm the infinite. That's how great, how wonderful is your love, your self-sacrifice, that you live for me. Braja Gopis, they make themselves look beautiful for Krishna's pleasure. That's why they wear makeup and dress very nicely and all, to look beautiful for Krishna. So then we think, well, what more could you say about that? Seems that Krishna has said it all. But then Gurumar says, who said that, revealed that Bhaktivinoda said Krishna's hiding in the kunja, viewing Radharani, so that means she's still in the supreme position. So not any diminished prestige for her in that instance. But Gurumar said, but when he comes as Gauranga, saying, then the only thing I can do, since I can't reciprocate your love, that's where the original concept of let virtue be its own reward must originate from. See, then, but what I can do is I can enter the world and tell everyone how great you are. That I can do, and that I want to do. Jadigorna hoita tabiki hoite, kemore daritam dehe, Radhar Mahima Prema Rasasima Jagata Janataka. So we come to Gurumar saying, Mahaprabhu came only to teach this. How great is Radharani and her devotion and love to Krishna, which is otherwise known as Krishna consciousness. Right? It's also there again in the Chaitanya Astakama Rupa Goswami, Sureshanam Durgam Gati Ati Shaino Upanishadam Muni nam sarva nam pratali nam madhuri ma kid, I forget, pashu palambu jadrasham, where he's saying that the gopis, they're saying, oh, look what happened to Krishna. He's become a devotee, and now he's singing the glories of our mistress everywhere and her supremacy. How wonderful. Krishna has become a devotee. And in those notes of Srup Damodar, is it Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kiddusho Baneva Svajyo Yenarbhuta Madhurima Kiddusham Va Madhya Sokyam Chasha Manu Anubhavita Kiddusham Veti Lobhat Tadbhavadya Samajani Sachi Garbha Sindhu Hurindu. Three reasons Krishna came as Mahaprabhu. Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima. That means to experience, Kidrusha Vanayeva means what she alone experiences. That means Mahabhav, the highest type of divine love. He wants to experience that. And proclaim her glories to the world. The greatness of her love and the limits of her prema. Then what? Svadhyo yenadbhuta madhur, and the taste that to taste the sweetness that she's tasting. Sokyamba, and experience that, the ecstasy that she experiences. And saying, so for that bhav, Radha bhav, Radha bhava dyuti subalita, Krishna descended in this world as Mahaprabhu to really inaugurate the Krishna consciousness movement, which is an extension of her consciousness. Right? She is the supreme personification of Krishna consciousness. And when we came in connection with Srila Guru Maharaj, you know, the movement is known internationally as, you know, the Hare Krishna movement, or the Krishna people, and they're always saying Krishna, Krishna, and Mahaprabhu is also doing that. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. He liked to sing that. So, and there's a beautiful verse, I think it's in the Mukunda Mala Stotram of King Kulashekar, where he's, you know, what are there, how many cases are there? Nityananda, in the Russian language, how many cases? Six, right? Same in Sanskrit, six. He gives you, in one sloka, all the different ways you can say Krishna. Like Krishna, Krishnesu, Krishnena, Krishnebhyaha, Krishnanam. You know, I don't know them all. But it's nice. If you learn this sloka, which I should listen to my own advice, then you learn all the different possible ways of saying Krishna. So what I mean is Krishna and the emphasis on Krishna and how we're irrevocably connected to Krishna and saying Krishna and talking about Krishna, hearing about Krishna and being associated with Krishna. So it's safe to say this is the Krishna consciousness movement and we're the aspiring devotees of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Then we met Guru Maharaj. And everything went in the other direction. I think, what? And he's saying, like the prayer you're singing, Rini, Sakshad Harite Nasamasta Shastre Uktastatabhav Jateva Sadhi. How to see a guru? Sakshad Hari, as directly Krishna. And he's saying, yes, we're doing that. And he's saying, Kintu Prabhoya Priya. But if you look more closely, like we mentioned in the beginning, Saraswati Thakur looking at Bhaktivinoda Thakur. If you look more closely, you'll see who is Guru? Prabhu Priya. Krishna Priya, Prabhu Priya, the one who is most dear to Krishna. Oh, so my Guru, I'm very happy to hear, my Guru is most dear to Krishna. Yes. Krishna Pristaya Bhutaya. But of those who are most dear to Krishna, whom is the most dear of the most dear, that, you know, Devi Krishna Mayi Prokta Radhika Sarvadevata, Srimati Radharani, Oh, then Guru should be seen as Radharani herself or her delegation. So when we came in connection with Srila Guru Maharaj, this shift took place in Krishna conception, the point of emphasis from Krishna to Radharani and by extension, Mahaprabhu. Right? Beginning of Prapanna Jivanamritam. Guru Rupa Harim Gauram Radha Ruchi Ruchavritam. The Guru Rup of Krishna is Gauranga. So when he, and Gaur Gadadhar, he said, that is Radha and Krishna's Acharya Leela. So, Swa Bhaktebhya Sudham Nijabhajana Mudra Mupadisham. When Krishna wants to teach devotion, he's taken the position of Radharani, the supreme devotee, and not to teach generic bhakti. Right? But the highest type of devotion, Radha Bhav, Maha Bhav, Swarupini Radha Thakurani, Anarpita Charim Chirat Korne Abhatirna Kalo, Samar Payatam Unatodvila Rasam Swabhakti Sriyam, Hari Purata Sundar Duty Kadamba Sandipita, Sadarhadeya Kondares Puratu Vasachinandana. It's amazing. Then those who are familiar with these things are able to extract some and summarize. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, what does he say in that song? Because you heard the series of songs of the Radhastakam and of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. What is it? Radha Bhajani Na Yati Nahi Bela, where he says, if your Krishna bhajan, your so-called devotion or worship of Krishna, does not culminate in Radha bhajan, it's useless. You miss the point. Radhika, Charana, Padma, Charana Padma, Sakala Sheva Sadma. The lotus, Radha Dasyam, Sri Radha Parapadmam Prapadye. That's where you get substantial Krishna consciousness. Gayatri Murli Stakirtana Dhanam Radha Padam Dimai. As Gurudev said, what is Krishna's flouting, as you wish? What's he playing? What's the song of the flute of Krishna? He's celebrating the service of the holy lotus feet of Radharani. Gayatri Murli. Arto yam brahmasutranam bharatartha binirnaya gayatri vasyarupo sho vedartha paribringhita. That Veda kalpaturu, that kalpa vriksha tree, flowers as Vedanta. Vedartha, what is that, the real meaning of that? Gayatri vasyarupo. And the Bhagavatam's really telling you what the Gayatri is meant for, the Brahma Gayatri, the Om Bhur Bhuva Svatat Savitur Rena, etc. Bargo Bhai Vishabhanu Jatma Bibabhai Karadana Sri Puram. Guru Maharaj's Gayatri explanation. It's about the service of the holy lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. That's what the fruit of the Kalpatru Veda, what comes out of the flower Vedanta, that Bhagwat fruit, Muhuraho Rasika Bubi Bao Bukaha, Nigama Kalpataror Kalitam Palam, Shukumukaram Ritadravisham Ritam. When I asked Guru Maharaj that about the last chapter of the Bhagavatam, it's very short, so you think, 12 cantos, roughly 18,000 slokas. So the 12, the chapter before that is like a recap of what's been discussed. But now you get to the last chapter, so every verse is critical. The last one Babaji Maharaj liked a lot, which says, you know, the very last verse of the Bhagavatam says, and he would sing it like this, he goes, Nama Sankirtanam Jasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Pranamo Dukusamanas Tannamami Harim Puram. Why did he like it? Because it said, Nama Sankirtanam Yasya. So it's saying, when all is said and done, do Nam Sankirtan, which we will do soon. When all is said and done. But maybe the second verse of that chapter is this Prishte Brahmyara Manda Mandaragiri, Prishte Brahmyara Manda Mandaragiri, Kravagya Kanduyanan, Nidralo Kamatakrite, etc. And it's saying like, the Kurma avatar? Wait, we just said Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, and we almost, you know, committed avatar aparad by seemingly diminishing their prestige, which wasn't our intention. So wait, we're at the end of the Bhagavatam, and now you're mentioning going back to the Kurma avatar pastime? Why? And interesting, all over Southeast Asia, Thailand included, what's at the Suvarnabhumi Airport? After the immigration, the big display, Kurma, the avatar, the turtle avatar of Vishnu, and where Sundarananda Prabhu is, and Cambodia, and you spent your time. What's Angkor Wat? What's the fuss about the Kurma avatar? You're thinking like, why? What are these people tripping on some secondary, you know, avatar? It's some kind of a Southeast Asian thing, you know? No. But I didn't understand that, and I just read this. So I said to Guru Maharaj, in the last chapter of the Bhagavatam, why are they bringing this up again? Like, why are we revisiting that section? And when I asked him, it was in the afternoon, like 4 o'clock or so, and usually that was a time for not like deep questions or complicated, you know. And it was like, hear the mail, the news, what, you know, and I looked at Guru Maharaj and I thought, I looked at Sagar Maharaj and I said, like, oh, I'm taxing Guru Maharaj's brain. It just kind of slipped out. Like, that would have been a morning question or another question, you know. So I was going to say to Guru Maharaj, we can deal with this later. I didn't mean to like drop that on your plate right now. I was going to stop, you know, just saying, because like, he goes into this deep state of which he and elsewhere described as, he's scanning all the scriptures. He said, like a computer, like, and all the statements of the Ved, Purana, etc., the great devotees, the Mahajans, the Guru Varga, he's scanning all of that as only he can. And as I'm going to tell him, we can take this up at another time, he said, what was the purpose of their churning? Meaning the devas and the asuras, the gods and the demons, right? We hear there's the Kheer Sagar, the ocean of milk, if you will, and their idea is to churn this ocean and get amrita, the nectar, so-called nectar of immortality. Mrityu means death. Amrityu, amrita means that you drink this, you'll become immortal, deathless. Right? We know. That's what the Google guys and the technology and the, you know, Marvin Minsky and MIT people, they want to live forever, download yourself into a robot made out of diamonds or whatever, you know, and make a backup. And, you know, and then on the other side, the religious people, they want to live forever and have God go, how's it going down there? Everybody good? You know, like their idea, the Judeo-Christian, you know, God's in the clouds somewhere while you're enjoying it with your family and friends. So both sides searching for this amrita, this, but we know the Bhagavatam says mukti arhat manyata rupam swarupena vivasiti. Real mukti or immortality means back to the original, Narada Devyas. You have the swarup, Krishna Das, Radha Dasi, in that plane. All these things are possible with Krishna at the center, not in the clouds, looking down on everybody, supplying their necessities. But at the center of every relationship, whether it be friendship, familial affection, erotic love. So, saying, they want this nectarine substance. What comes out of the ocean? They hear... Lakshmi Devi, Sri, Goddess Sri, like Padma Sri, the lotus. She's there. But also the moon. How is that? Moon, Chandra Bangsha. Krishna descends in the moon dynasty. The moon is a subtle reference. You can understand, there's going to be some rasic relationship between Sri and the, what is his other name? Like Manamanmata, like Cupid. It's compared to the moon at times. This moon-like face, like Madhuram, Madhuram, Madhurasya Vibho, and anyway. Different ways, but I'm thinking of another name. Godruma Chandra, Godruma Kanana Kundalini. What is his name? Bankim. Anyway, there are many names of Krishna. So, still, so there, and what is Shiva coming to? Why this churning? The nectar is coming, but also some poison. Throwaway, but it has another name, that undesirable element when you're doing these. No scientists in here? Huh? Byproduct. But byproduct is neutral. A byproduct could be something good. This is not a byproduct. It's a, like when there's some things, you have to separate the poison to get the real thing. And that's very, again, none of these things are anecdotal or incidental. So they're saying, you want that real substance? You gotta get rid of this poisonous thing that can have devastating effects upon you. No one can handle it, no one can digest it. They have to enlist Shiva. Right? Nilkanta Shiva. So, but then, and then we know the nectar is there, Mohini Murti comes, the rest. But so Guru Maharaj says this. Why reference this pastime in the final verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam is because what it's telling us is that the Amrita, the ultimate nectarine substance, and which is the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam, and what is delivered by the Bhagavatam is Madhura Rasa. That's what it's saying. And who is supreme giver of Madhura Rasa, Sri Radha Padasevanamritam, that one, but also Madhura Rasadi, Sri Radha Padapadmam Prabhadye. Shamalila Avalambam, all the Madhura Rasa pastimes are dependent upon her. So this book, which is, and it's meant to take you in that, the direction of that plane, and to enter in that plane. So the ultimate aspiration is the service of her holy lotus feet. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, if your so-called devotion or pursuit of Krishna consciousness doesn't culminate in worshiping her, you're wasting your time. You miss the point. That's where you get everything. And we're told, out of gratitude, because service according to the intensity of its necessity draws remuneration. When she's at her greatest, and her greatest need, remember, as we said yesterday, Remember I said, Radharani needs Krishna more than anyone. Trying to put it as simple as possible. Like real need. She cannot live without Krishna. Right? She's cursing herself, saying like, and now I'm separated from Krishna and I'm living? How is that possible? I should have died. If I had any real love for Krishna, I wouldn't be alive right now. That's the level of her intensity. So when she's separated from Krishna and she needs assistance from her serving group, it's reached its zenith point. And Guru Maharaj gave an interesting example. There's some famous warfield general, like where water is great shortage. The water they were giving to him, he gave it to one of his soldiers. He's saying, because I need him and he needs this, so it's going to him. The greatest necessity, that's the point. He should be given it. So he said, a glass of water, it normally has little or no value. But on a battlefield, in the heat of battle, at the crucial point, to give a glass of water to a soldier, this can turn the tide, right, of that conflict. So it becomes of immense value. Why? According to the intensity of its necessity. So at this stage, after 100 years of separation from Krishna and Kurukshetra, she's at the zenith of need and necessity. And the servitors come and serve her at that time. She feels immense gratitude to them and offers as a remuneration what is beyond the constitutional capacity of a jiva soul to experience, mahabhav. She's saying, here, have a taste of what we're tasting. And so tasting that substance, which is impossible of impossible things. Guru said, once you have a taste of that, what to speak of all other taste, all other rasas become tasteless. That's why they're so exclusively devoted to her. That's self-interest really expressed in its most purest form in the higher plane. When Guru Maharaj wrote in his poem this Sri Gaura, Sri Gauranamatam Swarupa Viditam, what Mahaprabhu brought down in this world only Srup Damodar knows, as we said yesterday. It's not an accident. Lalita Sakhi is on the Saptami, Radha on the Astami. And by the way, in spiritual mathematics, Guru Maharaj said, if you add two Astamis together, Krishnastami, the birth of Krishna, the eighth, Astami means eight, Radhastami, today, add them together, what do you get? Gaur Purnima. That's why Mahaprabhu's Purnima, when they combine together, Purnima. Gaur Purnima. So, Gauranamatam Swarupa Viditam. Only Swarup knows, only Lalita Sakhi knows fully. Why? What's going on? What's happening? And writes the notes, and Raghunath help, and give the Krishna Das. And now we read how fortunate we are. That's why we read Chaitanya Charitamritam every day. Then, Swarupa Viditam, Rupa Agrajena Agritam. Sanatan Goswami is worshipping this. Rupadye Puribeshitam, and Rupa Goswami distributing that. The leader of the junior, Sri Rupa Manjari Pada. Raghu Ganai and Raghunath Das, and Ganai mean, and his group, Krishnath Kaviraj Goswami. Aswaditam, they're relishing this, and it's becoming even more tasteful. So when you read and go, oh, what Krishnadas has written, it's even more, is it possible, it's even more beautiful. Raghunath Das, Raghu, and Prayojan Tattva Charja, Raghu Gunai, Ashwaditam Sevya, Jiva Jaya Barakshitam, Jiva Goswami, guard, protecting from those who would adulterate it, challenge its authenticity, its legitimacy, Jiva Baladev, they're protecting this. How perfect is the arrangement? Jiva Deva Bhiraksha, Sukha, Shiva, Brahma, Uddhava, they're all aspiring for a drop of this divine substance. Then you say, what is it? Sri Radha Padasevanamritamaho Tadatumisho Bhavan. O Bhakti Vinod Thakur, this is your gift to the world. The service of the holy lotus feet of Srimati Radharani in the form of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. When Saraswati Thakur read this, he said, who has written this? They said, Sridhar Maharaj. He said, no, he has not written this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written this through him. Now I am satisfied. Although I will leave the world, one man remains behind who can represent me fully and what I came to give. Now someone received it. They got it. Now I can leave with that, the satisfaction in knowing that I have someone who got it, who personifies this substance, remain behind to distribute that very thing. So Srila Guru Maharaj would say sometimes, he said, when I think of Radharani, I lose my existence. And he said, in comparison to her and Mahaprabhu and all, I consider everything else trash. He can say that. We should not imitate that. We're not like that. We, you know, that's not us. But it's so wonderful and glorious for us to realize that's our Guru Maharaj. That's why Srila Gurudev eternally dedicated himself to the service of the holy lotus feet of Srila Guru Maharaj and accepting all others and connection with the service of those holy lotus feet. Because when they went to Guru Maharaj's Hapania birthplace after so many years, and with God brothers, Babaji Maharaj was there, others, Achyutananda was there, and saying, how should we see this? Babaji Maharaj said, as Barshana, because we see Srila Guru Maharaj as Radharani's delegation. And I say, and like that with Gurudeva's Lalita to Guru Maharaj's Radhika. So this day, happiest day, best day, Hare Krishna. Krishna told, he is Hari, known the thief. You know, Gopi Janabastra Hari steals the garments of the gopis, but Chitta Hari, Bhangshi Dari, his mind stealing, flute, song, and so many things. But Radharani, we're told, she can steal Krishna, the mind of Krishna. When Sukh and Sari, when Mahaprabhu goes into the Vrindavan forest and his divine madness, and we're told, like we see when we go there, the two green parrots, they're usually a couple, the male and female, they land on his fingers, and the male starts glorifying, oh, Krishna, he is Madan Mohan, even Cupid is attracted by the beauty of Krishna. And then that's the male parrot, and the female parrot, Sari, said, no, but Krishna, he's only that beautiful, most beautiful, when he's at the side of Radharani. Otherwise, he's bewildered by her beauty. So she is Madan, Mohan, Mohini. And they're going back and forth. But Sari wins the argument in favor of Srimati Radharani. Hare Krishna. So, Sri Radhastami Maha Mahotsavatiti Ki Jai. And what's another song? Oh, Radha Madhava, I think. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari.